All right. Like Mike said, I'm Devin Davis. I'm an elder here, and I've been an elder since 2012, so going on 9 years. I was a little shocked when I talked to Mike the other day, and he asked me to give my testimony. I've never, ever given my testimony before, so you guys are the first to hear it. And the second thing is that I would rather be up here preaching than giving my testimony. I'm more comfortable doing that than speaking about my life, so hopefully I can do an adequate job. And the third thing is I'm only supposed to speak for 8 minutes, and that's going to be really hard, so bear with me through all of this. It wasn't meant this way at all, but that sermon that Mike just gave was me. And I think that touched me deeper than anything to think about Mike asked me to give this testimony on a day when he gave you a definition of Devin Davis most of his life. So just kind of in a brief way, I didn't ever think I had really an exciting testimony to share. I was born into a great family, and I don't think there was ever a day of my life where I wouldn't tell you that I completely believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. I knew he died on the cross. I knew it was for me, and I trusted in that. I was raised in a family that went to church regularly, vacation Bible school, Sunday school, you name it. When I went and visited my grandparents, we were in church, and so that was who I was. That's what I did. I remember getting my first Bible in junior high school. That's what it was called when I grew up. Now it's middle school. And it was called The Way. It was a Bible that's easy for young teenagers to read. And my mom still has that in the nightstand by the bed that I slept in when I was growing up. And so it's awesome to open it up and look at it. And the weird thing is, I thought since you were given a Bible, it meant you were supposed to read it. And so I started reading that, making that a daily part of my life, and that was the habit that served me well most of my life. So I thought that that's the only way to live. And back when I grew up, I think the good and the bad thing was that everyone was a Christian at that point in time, at least in title. Everyone went to church. Everyone did good things. And that's just kind of how it was supposed to be. The one thing that I always felt like, I always tried to live a very, I would consider it now, moral life. Make good decisions, be a good person, achieve what I could achieve, and do the best that I could. I laugh at it now, though, as it wasn't really necessarily, I hope she's not listening, necessarily for God, it was for my mom. My mom was not hard on me, but expected a lot of me. And so, you know, my sister and I talk a lot. I didn't drink in high school. I didn't do any of that in high school. And it was because I didn't want to have to answer to my mom. And I think she's the one that kept me going on the right track. That changed a little bit when I went to college. I think all you college students can identify with that a little bit. You don't have to come home at night and answer to mom and dad. So you kind of drift a little bit. But I still knew that God and church was still an important part of my life. So I took that Bible with me to college and read it every day. And wherever I was in school, I always tried to go to church, try to be a part of a campus ministry, FCA, Baptist Student Union, those type of things. But that's when I got a little bit off track as far as being involved in other things that I probably shouldn't have been involved in. But it was okay if I went to church on Sunday. And it was okay if I opened the Word and read it. And so I was just that kind of man that was somewhat lukewarm, feeling good because I was going to church, feeling good because I read his Bible, but making compromises regularly on a daily basis, and being okay with that. So that's how I lived. I still knew, I still believed, I just didn't know what it meant to be all in. And After college, I graduated. I'm an eye doctor. I graduated, and I ended up in Sterling, Colorado, and that's where I met my wife. She had been married before. I got two kids, two stepsons in the relationship. That was pretty awesome. We had a great church that we went to as a family, a great church family, and, kind of starting to figure out what Christianity was about, and I was blessed by that. But then I had an opportunity to move back. I'm from Wyoming, to move back to Wyoming. And the funny thing about it is now I look back, and I made that decision completely, fully on my own. I had an opportunity to move to hometown and a great practice, and I didn't ask God. I didn't pray. That's what I wanted to do, and that's where I was going. So we moved back to Wyoming, and that's where things kind of started to fall apart a little bit. Part of that is because I did go to church, but other things started taking the place of church. Other things started taking the place of God's words. I kind of just slowly drifted, slowly compromised, had guys around me who were good guys, but just were not good influences on me. And you could see little by little, my faith erode. And as that eroded, what was there, I started to become a person that I'm not very happy to look back at and tell you about. I wasn't a good husband. I wasn't a good father. I was doing things that I shouldn't have done and now feel somewhat ashamed of. And it started to affect my business, and it started to affect my relationship with my wife. And so just kind of cut to the chase, my business partnership failed, and I lost a lot of money, and that's a place where I wanted to be the rest of my life. And because of the stress on that and because of who I'd become, my marriage was failing. And it came to the point where we actually had to separate for a while. And so I moved out, and I remember sitting on the couch where I was staying, and for probably 2 weeks, it was pull the drapes and grab a six-pack of beer and sit on the couch and feel sorry for yourself. And so I did that, and I just remember thinking there's got to be more. And I remember one day God just speaking to me and saying, you know what? You can always come back to me. You can always come back to me. Your life does not have to be like this. And it was an instant change, but it wasn't an instant change. I remember opening the drapes, the sun shining through the living room, and starting to get back, getting healthy, start working out, start reading the Bible, which I had completely abandoned. And it was rough. It was rough with my wife. Trying to rebuild that relationship and that trust, it's like starting over again. And I wanted it to happen immediately, and of course it's not going to. And so we worked on that, and I moved to another job. I had to find a job. That's how I came here. I worked on the reservation. And so while I was apart, I would still drive back to Wyoming on the weekends. My kids were there. They were in high school. And slowly but surely, through some counseling, we had an awesome pastor that worked with us. She said, yeah, I'll give you a second chance. And we started working back to becoming a couple again, and decided that we were going to move here. We prayed about it this time, prayed as a couple, prayed as individuals, asked that God would guide us to a place, and said, you know what, this time when we go somewhere, we're going to do it according to what God wants for us. And so he brought us to Chadron. He brought us to Ridgeview. He healed my marriage. I'm so blessed to have a wonderful wife now that I love with all my heart. It hasn't been easy, but I'm just grateful for her. And in some ways, I'm thankful for that time because I appreciate her probably more than I ever did. He brought us here. He brought us to a great church. He surrounded me with some awesome men who have been able to pour into my life and counsel me and guide me and pray for me and give me wisdom. I was able to buy a practice, and it's been a challenge, but in a good way, because it's tested my faith as well. But mainly, he told me the importance of this. And Mike said that a little bit, but this word is what you need in your lives, because it gives you every single tool for everything that you need, whether it's in work or as a student, in a relationship, in a marriage, as a father, as an athlete. It's all found in here. This is more valuable than any bar of gold that you could give to me. And I am grateful that I've learned that at this church and through the teaching of faithful men like Pastor Mike. Because without this, I couldn't survive. And I'm so thankful for it. And I'm just grateful because I've also, I mean, who would have thought, we moved here 11 years ago, so 12 years ago, that I would be able to stand here and preach, that I would be able to preach at other churches, that I would have an awesome ministry with FCA Wrestling and the Chatham State Wrestling Team, that I would be surrounded by great guys that I can disciple and have a relationship with. And I'm just so thankful, because there was a time when I would have been ashamed to stand before Jesus when he returned. But by his grace and through the grace of God and his work in my life, I can now stand in front of him when he returns, full of joy, knowing that I've been faithful to him and that he's been good to me. And so I'm grateful for that. You know, I look at my life and it hasn't been perfect. And there's a couple of verses that I think of that I just wanted to share with you that really, I think, define who I am as a Christian and who God is to me. And he speaks it perfectly in his word. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." If my life doesn't reflect that he has been faithful to me every step of the way, why should I be concerned when a trial comes or a tough time comes? And there are still times when I doubt. Not too long ago, with some things in my life, I'll never forget that I was talking to Mike about that, and he said, "Has God ever let you down?" He hasn't, guys. He has never, ever once let me down. Through all of it, through the times when I rebelled, through the times I didn't listen, through the times that I backslid, through the times that I wasn't a good husband, I wasn't a good father, God was still working in me. And that doesn't mean that life has been easy, or it will be easy. But this is another verse that I wanted to share, and it's almost 8 minutes, I think, so I'll be done here in a second. But it says this in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Trials hurt. Trials are painful. But you know what? I am grateful for my trials. It has given me the ability to speak Christ in the lives of others and to be a witness and an example of others. I've made bad choices. I've made good choices, but I know they've all worked out according to God's plan. And you know what? I look back at that. I had a question. Somebody asked me one time, so What would have, you know, in times when I rebelled, what would have happened if you would have died then? And the thing that I can tell you is I didn't, but I know that God has used every second of my life to shape me into the believer that I am today. Nothing has been wasted by him, and it's by his grace and for his glory that I stand here today to tell you that, to be an encouragement, to persevere, to don't give up, to keep believing. God's using it all for his glory. So I'm grateful to be able to stand up here and tell you and that today and encourage you, and I thank you. And I'm always glad to listen and to talk, and I just would love to hear from you guys if anybody's struggling with any. So thank you very much.